I want to talk to you about how you construct characters, because I've always thought of the way you work as being very much in the initial stages like a jazz musician, that you will take the theme of a character and you'll almost riff on him. You'll improvise for a little while.
I do improvise a lot.
Before it actually gets to the page.
I don't write anything down for a long time. If I get a sense that there are a couple of people there, I have to find out more who they are. And so I'll take three of them, say, and put them in a situation that I know can't be in the play. And I'll improvise dialogue for them to see how well I know them. And when I know them well enough so that I can trust them, then I can put them in my play.
And do they then write themselves in situ?
Well, of course they don't, because they don't exist and I have to do it. But I transcribe them. I don't write them down until they can speak for themselves, at least in theory. Then I write them down.
And this idea of you writing in a very musician, like a very composerly way, is that something you agree with?
Yes. That's something I learned from Sam Beckett more than anybody else. Clarity and precision. And a composer and a playwright, well, the composer puts notes and the playwright puts words down on the paper with many of the same markings. Playwright uses punctuation. A composer uses the duration of notes. And we both use sound and silence, right? That's what a play is made up of, speech and non-speech. And music's made up of sound and lack of sound, right? Rest of sound. So we do the same thing.
You say we, but it's you, it's Shaw, it's Pinter are the people who actually give those kind of very specific stage directions on the page.
Yeah, I put it down very carefully. I put down what I hear. And I hear duration as well as meaning. And so I put those things down precisely. A playwright's got to know the durational difference between a comma and a semicolon and a period.
And then are you ever accused of directing on the page?
Of course.
And how do you respond to that?
Well, it's my play. And I put down exactly what I see and what I hear. And that's what I expect the actors and the director to do, exactly what I saw and what I heard.
But you're not in the room every time one of your plays is produced.
No, I can't be, but I try to write with sufficient precision that I make it difficult for people to screw up. You see, there's the creative act and the interpretive act. The play is the creative act. The string quartet is the creative act. The string quartet that plays the string quartet doesn't go around changing the notes or changing the order of the notes. They play what's down there. And in a play, if the play is any good, that's what should happen too. It gives the interpreters lots of leeway, because there are many ways to get at the ideal goal. And so I don't tell an actor how to become the character. I expect them, that's their training. But I want them to become the character, not something vaguely related to the character. And I think that's reasonable.
And how do the actors feel generally?
Good actors respect that and seem to enjoy it. Selfish, egotistical and bad actors, you shouldn't work with them anyway, so it doesn't matter.
You said that, if I'm not mistaken, Pirandello, Chekhov and Beckett.
Three most important 20th century playwrights for me.
Were they also the three that inspired you most, or do you know?
I don't know about what inspiration is. I have no idea. I don't know what the term means. I don't know what creativity means. I don't know what all these terms mean. They're so vague. Inspires me? I don't know. I'm a playwright, therefore I write plays. I'm a playwright, therefore I get ideas for plays. I translate from my experiences that I have. I'm not content to have the experiences, obviously. I need to turn them into something else. So I turn them into a play since I'm a playwright.
But do you ever acknowledge that, I don't know, people like Thurber is somebody who...
Did you say Thurber?
Hmm.
James Thurber, one of my favorite writers.
Right, but that's what I mean. I'm saying I can see Thurber in you. And can
I
you?
Hope so.
Can you?
I hope I learned an awful lot from Thurber's humor. Oh, God, yes. Wonderful writer. Nobody reads him anymore. Do you read him?
I have read him, yeah.
Read him again. He's wonderful.
I want to talk about your relationship with the New York critics. They've both, in their sometimes disdain of you, actually helped you. The reviews for Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf included one that said this was a play
only for dirty-minded women. That added a year to the run. I loved it.
Why have you not got on with them?
What is interesting to me is that when a critic doesn't like what I've done, the reaction is infinitely more personal than you would expect from a critic. And it has something to do that I shouldn't be allowed to write. There's something that I do that offends this guy so much that I shouldn't be allowed to write. It's not, it's a bad play, but there seems to be something else going on there. I've never suffered critics gladly, you know. Intelligent ones, I think, are wonderful, and ones that can barely, you know, write their way across a page, I'm not very happy with, and I've always made that public information, because I don't think anybody should read bad critics.
But you see, I think that might have been the mistake, that you criticized the critics.
Can't, you're not allowed to, I learned that too late, you're not allowed to do that. They're very thin-skinned people.
And do you think then there was a sort of a 9 or 10 year period, sort of fallow period in terms of what was being produced by you in New York? Was that as a result of this relationship?
In New York, I was getting produced everywhere else, all over Europe and around the rest of the United States, but not in New York City.
And was that because of the critics, you think?
Yeah, that was because of the critics, and a lot of producers didn't want to touch me because my plays, they knew, were going to get bad reviews. There's a thing called commerce in all of the arts, and commerce and excellence don't have much to do with each other necessarily. I mean, for example, the majority of commercial plays that are put on Broadway are a total waste of time and nobody should see them. But they're put on not because they're any good, but because the people know they'll make money. And that's the commerce of theater. And that gets in the way of the art of theater.
And something you've never been prepared to play along with. You have to write what you have to write.
You know, sometimes I wonder if I knew how to sell out, if I would have. I don't think so, though.
But you have been purposely contrary over the years.
No, I've not been contrary. I've held to a certain number of theories. That a play is any good, it should be done as written. And that the theater should be filled more with plays that ask questions rather than ones that give facile answers. And the theater should make us think about something. It shouldn't be an empty escapist experience. It should be engagement. Yeah, these are unpopular notions that I have. But I have those notions maybe because that's the only way I can write. Maybe I don't know how to write junk.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.